Continuing in our study of the Westminster Confession of Faith, and we've reached chapter 8. Let me read section 1 to you, or with you now. The Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 8, section 1. It pleased God in His eternal purpose to choose and ordain the Lord Jesus, His only begotten Son, to be the mediator between God and man, the prophet, priest, and king, the head and savior of His church, the heir of all things, and judge of the world, unto whom He did from all eternity give a people, to be His seed, and to be by Him in time redeemed, called, justified, sanctified, and glorified. Well, so much of God and His plan is beyond us, as we know, but as we come to chapter 8, we're reminded that there is one thing that every Christian does know, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, that's what we see here, and what Christians know today about God and His plan. The people have known for some time, in some form, really since the beginning of the world. For a long time we've known that it pleased God in His eternal purpose to choose and ordain the Lord Jesus, His only begotten Son, to be a mediator between God and man. But we have a clearer vision now. We have a clearer vision of Him today, for He was revealed in these last times, Peter says, for our sakes. And so from the vantage point of the New Testament, we can see how it is, finally, that a Savior could be chosen before the creation of the world. And now we can understand how one could be ordained as a mediator between God and man at a time when only God existed. It was because God Himself, God the Son, was our mediator and our Savior. It's one of the great wonders of the Incarnation and our salvation, that the all-glorious and only begotten Son of the Father so humbled Himself that He became a man. And yet it's another wonder of the Incarnation that in that instant of humbling, Jesus was also taking to Himself new titles and works as our mediator, which give us even more scope for praise than we ever had before. He was raised up as a prophet greater than Moses himself. He was declared an eternal high priest who would offer up one sacrifice to do away with all sin for all time. For all of our sin for all time. It was He who was established as the King of Zion, and His kingdom shall never end. Well, of course, the Son of God is not only the Savior, as if that were a small thing. He is also our prophet, our priest, and our king. And in this threefold office, He is the head of His church. As the prophet, He is its teacher. As the priest, He is its mediator and only hope. And as the king, He is its defender and ruler. And this threefold office of Christ as prophet, priest, and king, and His headship over the church really has vast implications for how we view the church. It ought to shape how we think and speak of the church. Of course, it ought to shape how we order the church, how we serve in the church, and how we worship as part of the church. For it is His church, and we must seek His will diligently and constantly in all that we do together. This is, of course, only the beginning of our Savior's perfections, isn't it? He's our Savior. He's the head of the church, and He is so much more. And how can we begin to understand it all? For He is God's Son. No wonder that God said that in Him He was well pleased. And because the Father is pleased with the Son, He appointed Him heir of all things, heir of all the worlds that He created. And that is who we serve. That is our Savior and our Mediator. And with the Son of God as a mediator between God and man, what Christian has a right to be afraid of death or of judgment? No, we have reason only for confidence. For not only can we be sure that God will judge the world in righteousness, for He is God, we can also be sure because He has ordained Christ Himself to serve as our judge. We can be sure of our eternal security with Him. I began by quoting John 3, verse 16, where Jesus speaks of himself as the only begotten Son who was given to all who believe. How clear it is that in Christ we have been given a gift like no other. But strikingly, the end of this first paragraph in chapter 8 of the confession reminds us of the other side of the story. The heir of all things has been given a gift too. A gift promised to him from all eternity. We can only imagine what a gift the Son deserves. Well, how surprising it is that we are that gift to that Son. The Son wanted a people for himself. The eternal Son asked for a seed, children that he could gaze upon with pleasure for all of his days, as Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53 teach us. Well, who would have ever thought it? For we know what we are like. We are just like those complaining, arguing, fearful disciples in Jesus' own day. And yet in a rare glimpse of Trinitarian fellowship, we see in John 17, or we overhear the Son giving thanks to the Father that his Father did keep his word and did give him a people out of the world for himself. Well, who would have thought it? For we feel so unfit for life with Christ. But here's the wonder of it all. Of course, we are unfit for life with Christ in our natural state. We could never enter his presence all besmattered with sin. And so in time, Christ came in and redeemed us. He gave himself as a ransom. Although we're sheep once deaf to the shepherd's voice, by God's mighty power, he called us. And in fact, in Christ, although we are a gift to him, he is everything to us. He is our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification. And stopping at nothing, he will also make us glorious, for he is remaking us in his image for himself. Well, let us give thanks to our God in prayer. Our Father and our God, how we delight to praise you as we think of the marvel that we are somehow a gift to you in your eternal plan. And how we delight to praise you as we think of the astonishing gift that you have given to us. Who would have ever thought it? For we know who we are. So help us this day to lift our hearts and our voices in praise to you. And what we begin or continue in praise today, help us by your Spirit to continue for all of our days, living out lives of grateful thanks to you, our triune God. It is in Jesus' name that we pray, for he is our only mediator. Amen.